This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a big day for Cal McNair. How about this? So there's going to be a vote. There's the NFL owners meetings. According to the Sports Business Journal, the owners are expected to vote on a proposal to make Texans CEO and chairman Cal McNair, friend of the show, the principal owner of the Texans. He would replace his mother, Janice. So that would mean that Cal would be the principal owner, wouldn't have to wait. I know you got some thoughts on this.
I do.
I think this is necessary for sure, but I'm intrigued to hear what your thoughts are on this whole Cal McNair officially becoming the Texans owner and what exactly that means, why it's happening, etc.
My thoughts on this are twofold. First of all, I'm not trying to sit here and, you know, canonize one person over the other, because this is a team effort. And I'm not trying to say that Cal McNair by himself, this would not be happening. I think it would be happening. But
I don't know.
Well, because of age and, you know, transition.
Yeah, but
like ultimately he's going to be the owner whether they like it or not.
Perhaps.
But I think it's a good thing for Texans fans. Like what do I care as long as they keep doing what they're doing? Well, it is a good thing for fans because just in the last year, let me not bury the lead here. I think the biggest reason that it's happening now and it's a really good thing is Hannah McNair.
Okay.
And that's not, again, just to reiterate, let's not take a shot at Cal or it wouldn't be happening.
They're a team, man.
It's going to happen.
They're a duo.
But I think it's happening now and I think it's being embraced by other owners because that's a click, man. I mean, I've known a lot of NFL owners over the years and had these discussions. It is like a sewing circle. It's cliques, like the cool kids versus the rich kids. They're all rich. But the cool kids versus the nerds versus the ones that are ostracized versus the ones that feel they own the league. It's different pockets of ownership, right? But I think they're being embraced by the other owners, and this will be clearly a unanimous vote, because it's Cal and Hannah. I do. I think it's next to impossible. Here's why. It's next to impossible to change a reputation of an owner once it gets out there and it gets established. We have evidence in this city. Bud Adams, 40 years later, he's got the same reputation for various reasons, and there are factors, but I'm just saying he does. Drayton McClain, he took this team to a World Series, man. And he never got over that initial reputation. Even when they went to a World Series of, oh, he's cheap, oh, he's a showman, you know, he's kind of like a ringmaster in a circus, all that. He never got over it, and they went to a freaking World Series. And then you can go back. Some of the older fans will know this. Charlie Thomas got a reputation. John McMullen got a reputation and never got over it. The fact that the McNairs, Cal and Hannah, have completely 180'd their reputation, it's because of two things. First of all, the Deshaun stuff passed and they got out there more. The other thing is Hannah. Hannah is a very likable, approachable, kind of her emotions on her sleeve. We saw the video that Figgy did of she's doing the broom action, you know, after they beat the Titans. I mean, fans ate that up. And I think the fact that they go so well together and she's a personality, I think that's what's at play here. This is not just a little story, oh, they're transitioning. You know, it's more than that.
Don't you think it's as much about dotting your I's and crossing your T's as well? Like, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but, you know, Janice is in her 80s.
That's what I said, age, was going to happen either way.
You don't know what's promised tomorrow, even if you're in your 40s. Yeah. We see that all the time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've seen it firsthand. Like, if she passes away and then all of a sudden there's no minority owner, it could get pretty confusing. It could get ugly. Mm-hmm. So, and I think this is probably part of her wish too, but you kind of get Cal in, and I know the owners like Bob too. So that's what Bob wanted and that's what Janice wants. So you kind of just get that done where you don't have to deal with any potential drama and any succession like type of stuff. Cause make no mistake, this is going to be a unanimous vote.
No, it'll be a unanimous vote. But like Janice McNair could have just continued to hold this on and put it in her will.
Yeah.
You know,
But I mean, that could have got confusing.
Yeah, and it could have gotten confusing, could have gotten legal. And we know that there's already been some strife in the family, in that family that might have caused some issues. Yeah. So maybe that's a factor as well. But what I'm saying is, like, I can't remember an ownership, much less in this city, but an ownership group that once the reputation gets out there, it switches that quickly and that profoundly.
For me, I think a lot of the reputation was unfair. Like the incompetence was there. Like you appoint Jack Easterby and a lot of the stuff goes the way it does. I think that criticism was valid, but I think a lot of the extra crap was just people with agendas trying to attack Cal McNair. Like I like that Jordan Schultz. What's the Starbucks baby's name?
Yeah, Jordan Schultz.
What's that goofball's name?
Yeah.
Like there's a tweet he deleted. I still actually had it in a screenshot. Like he straight out said, yeah, Cal McNair is known as an intense racist. And now all of a sudden this guy's like sitting here praising the Texans. Like it was some low hanging fruit that nobody who was around him actually believed. Nobody thought that. And just a few stories here and there brought it there. So I do agree with you that there was a flip flop, but I also think that a lot of the criticism was unfair in the direction of Cal and Hannah.
Well, you know, during this whole debacle of the previous 3 years, I never said things like I said about Jack Easterby. I said it again today.
Yeah.
He's a clown. He's a con man. He's a cockroach. He's a shyster. He's a parasite. He's a pariah.
So you aren't tight.
those things I have said about Jack Easterby.
Y'all both bleed maroon, and you're talking about your fellow Aggie.
No, we don't. I literally have called him that because that's what I believe he is.
Yeah.
If you recall, and you were the same way, I never said anything about Cal McNair as this or this or that.
No, no.
I said the organization.
The competence deserved to be questioned.
I said the organization was dysfunctional.
Yeah.
That was my goal. It's a dysfunctional organization.
The competence deserved to be questioned.
Yes. But it wasn't like he's this or he's that.
No. And I think a lot of people who were saying that, I think it was weird.
Yeah.
I think there was undertones to it. I think it was a little bit weird. But he has flipped it. But it is funny. We've gone from, you know, Cal sell the team being like one of the texts we get the most to like the gif of him like throwing up the H or something like that.
Yeah, and Hannah doing the broom and all that stuff.
So they have come a long way, and we anticipate this becoming official. So we'll keep our eye on the owners' meetings. D'Amico Ryan's had a lot to say. We'll get into a lot of that tomorrow. But right now, man, like one of the best sporting events of the year is upon us, and it is March Madness, and the best game of the tournament, in my opinion, might be a little bit biased because I am a Texan, but that U of H versus Texas A&M game yesterday, the game of the tournament, and it was
it's tough that one of these teams had to lose.
See, you're saying
it's tough that one of these teams had to lose. They both left it out there.
I want to play a game. We don't have to get in the sticks of the game. We both agree it was a very solid game. Were there any takeaways?
I thought it was the best game of the year.
Yeah, it was the best game of the year. I don't think officiating was as bad as a lot of
Hoops
fans are saying. I think A&M was the more aggressive squad. I don't mean that as a bad. They were just, I mean, A&M needed to play with a certain amount of heart, and they needed to play a certain style to win that game, and they did it. and the Cougs held up just fine. I think A&M beats any other team if they play like that. I think U of H was just built to be able to withstand that effort.
So many weapons, man.
Yeah.
They come from you, come at you with so many. I mean, Sharp and Shedd, of course, and just, I mean, they were just coming from. But anyone who says anything about the officiating, if you want to talk about the Aggie not stepping out of bounds, or you think want to talk about the Aggies getting a call that they shouldn't have gotten.
Yeah, with, the jump ball and the push off would be
I'm with you. I'm with you on those calls. But the official, but the foul calls?
No, I don't do foul discrepancies. No,
well, it's not even that. Like, the Aggies' game plan was, by any means necessary, get to the lane. Let's get them in foul trouble.
That's what
they exercised their game plan to perfection, whereas the Cougs were drive and kick out to their great shooters. That's going to be a discrepancy in foul calls.
Yeah. I thought it was fine. Right. Yeah. I mean, I thought it, I mean, it was a lot, but I thought it was warranted. But that jump ball at the end was a little crazy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the two faces of the programs, though. Let's start with Jack Easterby, the face of the Texas A&M basketball program. You saw him on the court. He was hugging everybody. He was front row at Buzz Williams' press conference. The face of the Texas A&M basketball program, Jack Easterby. Buzz Williams, Jason Bristol asked, what's up with this this new Aggie you got?
What kind of impact has he had on you and your program, the players, and does he have an official role with the program?
Oh, no, he's just visiting. I've known Coach Jack for long before he was with the Texans, so I would say long before I was at Texas A&M. I would say over a decade now. He's just here at the game and
it goes back to South Carolina when Jack was Jack was there and he had that greatest champion type of
So like just to reiterate on Easterby, have I mentioned that he's a cockroach and a parasite and a pariah and those feelings of mine never will change? I think to your point, and I know you're just tweaking me there, but he wasn't even around the team until March 2nd, the Georgia game. So he's only been around the team less than 3 weeks or right at 3 weeks. I hate that he's around the program. Don't get me wrong. I hate that he's around the program because he's looking for an angle. Every con man is looking for an angle, you know, and he's looking for an angle. But I'm not worried. I'm not worried. First of all, I think.
What if they hire him?
They won't.
But what if they did?
If they hired him, it'd just be as a chaplain.
But you would be okay with that?
No, I hate that he's around the program. But keep in mind, he was a chaplain in New England when they were winning Super Bowls. If that's all he does, okay, I don't like it, but okay. I think he's going to probably be aggressively looking for something else, but I don't think that's going to happen because the organization, the athletic department itself, when they were asked about it, which, by the way, I was really, really sad.
You were ticked at the Chronicle.
I was sad and upset that the Chronicle, in their headline, said that he's involved in the program in an unofficial capacity, like he's making decisions.
I mean, he's on the court, bro.
Well, he got a pass from his buddy.
I mean, he's on the court hugging players in his front row at the press conference. That's some capacity.
He did some prayers. But, like, to put that headline out there, you know, involved in the – however they put it, I'm like, come on, you know better than that. And then the athletic department said, no, he's not. No, he's not. They know the reputation that's out there.
Well, according to Jack Easterby, you can control your character, but you can't control your reputation.
Yeah, well, sure. Whatever. That's not what you were saying
that's
before.
That's what he said.
That's not what you were saying before.
That's what he said, sir.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. So that's buzzkill number one. The newest face of Texas A&M basketball, Jack Easterby. I don't know if this is a buzzkill or not. I'll let you decide.
Mm-hmm.
This was Jim Nance after the game. Cougs locker room. Cougs battled it out. They got the dub. Overtime, thriller, game of the tournament, 100-95. Here's proud U of H alum, Jim Nance, breaking it down for you.
Tonight we won one. Everybody on that staff, everybody on Kelton's staff, but everybody on that roster did something to make that happen. I tell you, if America didn't know who we were, and I've always, of course, you know, it's just part of our nature being Cougars, we always kind of feel like we got a little bit of a chip. Tonight there's a whole new legion of fans that saw that test. That was a gut test. When's the last time you watched a game with four starters foul out? And you got to go win a game in overtime to get to the Sweet 16? I only did 354 NCAA tournament broadcasts.
Oh, okay.
96 Final Fours. 96 Final Four games. 32 national championships. I've never seen a team have to band together like we did tonight. I mean, I've seen amazing things happen over the course of all those decades of games. I've never seen a team have to go that far on a, down a bench and have everybody have their fingerprints on a win like what happened here tonight.
Does that make you motivated? He laid out the stats, bro.
It was an eye roll for me.
He went with his stats.
It was an eye roll for me, man.
He gave his broadcast stats.
He liked that hoodie.
I'm actually kind of worried that he's really that this is really going to happen. That the whispers are that he is going to Ian Eagle, who, by the way, awesome, incredible, amazing, where he belongs. Ian Eagle's really going to call the national championship game, and then Jim Nance is going to walk up there. Like, this is something that people look forward to. I mean, he's treating this like this is John Madden handing out turkey legs or something after the game. And he's going to really take away what the broadcaster is supposed to do and not let Ian Eagle go up there and do what he's supposed to do. This seems really unnecessary to me if they're really going to do that. I'm sorry. Props to Jim Nance, legend. You got the Masters this week. Ian has earned this. Whose idea is this?
Jim Nance. And Jim knows if he's listening. I like him. I've been around him a lot. He's fine. But he also knows you're not supposed to be the story. You're not supposed to be part of the story. And especially if you're not even involved.
Come on,
in
dude.
The story.
It's not that important.
Yeah.
Like if Ian Eagle goes up there and gives the tournament, nobody's going to be like, man, I really want Nance up there.
Yeah.
It's not like it's like some sort of like amazingly memorable thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild to me. I think it's unnecessary. I really
Oh, it's absolutely unnecessary.
Like really. I'm not trying to take away, but and what if the Cougs win? Is he going to go up there
in his hoodie?
In his leather jacket?
Is he going to give him a tie?
I think he probably will do that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, look, that he certainly has earned the right and the approval of CBS for decades and decades, but I think even if it wasn't him that made this offer, you don't do that. You don't do that. You don't be a part of the story like that when you've already passed the baton to someone else.
Yeah, it would be weird.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. Text line, by the way, I missed this. I did not investigate enough with Jack Easterby, but 0061. Got better eyes than me. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the crazy one, 0061.
First of all, you said 0061, so there's going to be a definite skepticism here.
Nah, the 0061 has good observations.
Does he?
Man. Yeah,
does he?
0061. It's a dangerous place to go.
He's not, okay.
He said Easterby had an autographed OG sauce shirt on.
Hey, I'll sell him some sauce.
So I did not notice that.
Yeah, I didn't either. Just ordered some more. So we'll have plenty for him. Also said that he was doing the gig'em sign. I didn't see that either. I did see him clapping.
Someone says it sounds personal with Jim Nance. It's not.
I like
not
Jim.
At all.
I like Jim. I've had numerous conversations with him. He's
not.
No.
I don't have any problem with him. I just think that Ian Eagle has deserved this opportunity for a long time. I think he should be a bigger part of the NFL broadcast. And I think if Ian Eagle is going to call the championship, I don't think that it's like a big enough deal to where Jim Nance, like I've watched March Madness, every March Madness that Jim Nance has called.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't look at that broadcast. The reason that it makes sense is because he called the game if he goes up there. But I don't look at that.
Yeah.
I don't look at that as like something that I just have to have. I got to have it. I don't. I think Ian Eagle should be able to do it. I think he's good enough to do it. I think he's earned the right.
You see the big mistake, funny mistake that the broadcast crew last night made with the Aggies?
Yeah, the Netherlands.
I was sitting there watching the game, and Hayden Hefner with the shot, whatever he did. I think he tipped the ball to Garcia for a putback. Hefner, you know, who's from the Netherlands.
Yeah. He's from Netherlands, Texas.
No, he's from Nederland.
Nederland?
Nederland.
However you want to say.
It's over in the Golden Triangle, man. It's like Port Arthur, Beaumont.
Never been there.
Hayden Hefner, who's from the Netherlands. Not really. He's from Nederland. He's from the Golden Triangle.
You know, there's some people from out there in the sticks pissed off.
Yes.
Probably got some letters.
But the funny thing is, it's spelled N-E-D-E-R. So like, almost like the Netherlands would spell in the Netherlands. So somebody just assumed, he must be from the Netherlands. He's a white kid.
So I've been on. We've been talking a lot about neighborhood Facebook posting,
mm-hmm.
and there's one that I want to get your. Speaking of noise, I want to get your opinion on this.
Mm-hmm.
So someone posted this anonymously, and it says, "Quote: Please hear your humming AC unit and call a tech. You have to know it is louder than your neighbors. Why don't you go knock on their door, jerk?"
Well, first of all,
tell them that their AC unit's going on.
Hey, is there anything you can do about that? The other thing about that, I think only one person, you're not very anonymous. Only one person would really know that. And that's your next door neighbor on the AC side. Like wherever your unit is, where your compressor is or whatever, that's the one that is bothered by it. Like,
Emily replied and said, obviously they don't. Maybe go knock on the door.
Yeah. Yeah, just go knock on the door.
What is with these people these days?
I had some more gunshot posts on mine.
Oh, gunshots?
Yeah.
Is it always the same person?
No, I sent y'all screenshots. Like from the neighborhood group and the Facebook group. Like, anybody else hear those gunshots? Yeah, well, it's on I-45. It's a car backfiring.
Coming up, J.J. Watt gets credit for one of the biggest upsets of the tournament. A coach fighting to win a championship says that people should have to take tests to talk hoops, plus perhaps the star of the tournament, and he ain't a coup. Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Best sounds from the tournament, from the best, one of the best sporting events that there is. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. The Cougs advance. They're going to take on Duke. How about that? Pretty cool to see Duke on the other side of things.
That's going
to
be very nice. I can't imagine like that pedigree is going to in the least bit turn.
People still scared of Duke?
That's what I'm saying. They it's not the same anymore. It's just not the same. It's not Coach K. It's none of that stuff. Because the only reason I'm saying that is you immediately saw as you're scrolling social media post game and this morning about the great A&M and UH game.
Yeah.
Well, Duke's going to be a whole different. No, it's not.
3.5
no, it's not.
Point favorites, the Cougs are against Duke. You can hear that right here on Sports Radio 610, your home of the tournament and your home of the Cougs down the stretch. We got you covered, man. Mm-hmm. Hey, come here. Get some good broadcasting.
Yeah.
On the sports leader, John Calipari, let's go through these best sounds and let's just kind of react. And J.J. Watt got credit. For one of the big upsets in this tournament. Not sure if he deserved it or not. Might have to do a little digging here. But this was John Calipari. This was him heading into the tournament. This is Coach Slime talking about how his how his team was stacked up.
I'm looking at this team saying what I've said for how many weeks. We're built for March. Yeah. Let's go. Let's prove it.
All right. Well, they lost to
Update.
Oakland. He has won one tournament game since 2019. And afterwards, he went mystical. I mean, he went mystical. Shout out to the old school No Limit, but mystical and Silk the Shocker. He went, it ain't my fault. Here's John Calipari talking about what happened. What went wrong, Coach? Another choke job. Explain it, Coach Slime.
You know, we had some guys that didn't play the way they'd been playing all year. We did everything we could. We knew the zone would be tough, but we miss shots we don't miss. And, you know, the preparation, I thought they were in a great, trying to keep them loose. But when the game started, you had some guys not play to the level they could play.
They're prepared.
I can't tell you.
Hit the slime off.
Yes.
Hit this SOB where he belongs. Goodness.
Oh, no. This sounds like a slime ball nomination.
Slime me.
I can't tell you how much I hate this.
Well, it's whack.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons. Like, you've been living this life for a while. Like, NIL did not change the way that John Calipari should be coaching college basketball. It's been one and done for a while.
Yeah.
It's been like that
for a while.
He's been
doing this for 15, 18 years. I mean, and then the other part is, like, he's talking in there about, well, you know, well, they were talking. It was who was it? About the NIL has made it difficult.
Right.
Yeah, Jay Wright. They've always had veteran teams. That's always been a discussion during the tournament. Well, that veteran team against all the freshmen, dude.
That's always been the case.
That's always been the case. They're just getting paid now.
As a matter of fact, it might be less now.
Yeah.
Because now some of those veteran teams, the guys might transfer because of the portal and stuff. So it might even be less.
Yeah.
Or more because they transfer
to a better team. Whatever.
But regardless, like, you know the rules. And don't go there and say, we've made this much billion in contracts and then expect the guys to give a damn about March.
No.
Calipari, you are a slime ball.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Self, he kind of got drugged for this. The Kansas coach, Bill Self. I like Bill Self. I kind of think this might have been some unfair headline porn. The headline was, Bill Self says he's been focused on next season for a long time. Let's get the full context. Maybe you disagree, but this was Bill Self speaking after their loss to Gonzaga.
For the last month, I've been thinking about next season, to be honest. Not in the moments during the game, but we had eight guys on scholarship, and we play, I mean, that were healthy there late. And, you know, injuries are part of the game, so that's not an excuse. But we could have done a much better job as a staff putting more guys out there that we could play. And so that's something that I've thought about for a long time. And the thing about it is, in basketball, early on, you can play through some things, but the course of a season, there's a grind that goes with it, and bodies get run down, injuries occur. That's all part of it. And when you don't have as much firepower that maybe you've had in past years, it certainly showed this year.
I think what he's saying is basically, like, we know what we have, and we've got a team that's going to be built for a while. A lot of teams do this.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Well, I mean, what do coaches do? Like, do you think that, like, honestly, do you think that Bill Self right now, like, as soon as that game ended, he goes, damn, I got to go recruit. I got to figure out how to get my team ready. Like, coaches have to play chess and checkers at the same time in college because you see what your weakness is. Like, do you think that when Texas didn't have a quarterback, that the first time that, I don't know, Mac Brown or whatever decided that he was going to, that he knew that and was going to try to get a quarterback was after the bowl game?
Well, we really need a quarterback now.
You know, I was kind of living in the moment. Yeah. I really wasn't worried about it. Like, when do you get recruiting letters? You get like, these kids are getting recruited. Of course. So that to me was headline porn. That was unfair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's almost like he gave up on this squad. Come on.
He didn't do that. That was headline porn.
Yeah.
Calipari, you are a slime ball.
Mm-hmm.
JJ Watt, man. How about this? JJ Watt got some credit. For one of the biggest upsets of the tournament, Utah State. They didn't quite pull off the upset yesterday. Good Lord, that was an assing.
Yes, it was.
But Utah State coach Danny Sprinkle was asked about what he's done to motivate his team and the quote that he uses, and he gave one of the best Texans of all time some credit. Was it due, though?
get to the next day and they've taken on that rent is due every day. I think it was J.J. Watt had the quote, you know, success is leased and rent is due every day. And the second you think that you've made it, you're going to get knocked off.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Is that J.J.'s quote?
I think he said he did,
he's at the top when you search it. So maybe it is. Success was is that leased, from the rent is due. I don't know. J.J. Watt.
I mean, I've heard it before.
Maybe J.J. made it popular?
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Good for J.J.
Did J.J. create that?
Yeah, J.J. was having a hard time staying up while he was in Europe, I guess.
Oh, because he was...
watching Wisconsin and all that stuff. And who was that? Oh, the kid from Pewaukee. Grokey? Golkey?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, by the way, you lost that. You can lose a game in the first half. My God, you bozos. If y'all would have just kept it together, not that I was pulling for him or anything like that, but my God, what were y'all doing? Yeah. Goodness gracious. Matt Painter, he is the coach of Purdue. He's a good coach, man. He has a guy on his squad who I believe is 7'4". His name is Zach Edey.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asked about the notion that Edey is just good because he's tall. Here's what he had to say.
People that cover the game say he's just tall. What would you say to the people that say that, that are only looking at the size and not just the game?
Yeah, they just shouldn't cover basketball. Yeah, you know. And so, like, you go to school and you learn things or whatever, but we all don't like every single class we're in, right? It's kind of a necessary evil. It's like going to work. Like, you don't like everybody you work with, or you don't like certain parts of your job, and, you know, it's tough, right? You got to be able to deal with, like, certain things that are difficult. And so I just think everybody should, like, take tests on their knowledge of what they're doing. Like, I think all coaches should take a test so they understand refereeing, and I think all referees should take a test so they understand coaching, and I think all journalists should have to take a basketball quiz or a test, or anybody that tweets, they should have to be able to do it. And if they say something so moronic as that, then they should have to have a probationary status where they can't tweet for like 3 months. I think it'll help like society, you know, like just try to knock out the fools, you know, so they don't have to, you know, meet at the local Walmart and say things that don't make any sense.
Okay.
It's a societal problem. I don't even know who's saying this, like, as writers.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear some people say it like in...
Like, someone covering a Purdue game would say...
I've never heard a writer say that.
Or anyone.
He's just good because he's tall.
Yeah.
You know how many stiffs there are that are tall?
I hate the tall guys that can't play sports.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody's like, where'd you play? You play basketball? No, I'm an artist. Why?
So there's a star of the tournament right now. And who would you say is the star of the tournament right now? Kind of the folk hero... of this tournament right now.
I would say, well, Grokey's out and
I don't know.
Who?
Come on, dude.
Who am I missing?
Come on, dude.
Who am I missing?
You know who the star of the tournament is. Come on.
Who?
DJ Burns, man.
Oh, big boy.
NC State.
Yeah.
6'9", 275.
God, he's good. He's tall.
6'9", 275.
Yeah, he is good.
He's got this song that they came out to this song right here. And I think they said that it, like, jumped up to top five. It's a Boss Man D-Lo freestyle. This song is number one because he's coming out to it.
I'm in that thing shifting, and I'm lane switching. This big zombie stand on straight business. Ducking on ass like Blake Griffin. He keep talking, bro, gonna leave his
So he's coming
missing.
Out with, like, the
And he's got,
the
he's boom got box. He is moving, yeah.
He's got the boombox.
Yep.
His dad's a probation officer. His mom's an eighth grade assistant principal.
That's cool.
Yeah. I call him Whack Randolph.
He can play.
No, I'm just, it's a nice way of saying he's a poor man's.
Yeah.
He's a poor man, Zach Randolph. So I call him Whack Randolph.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not take it too far. They're saying he's not Zach Randolph.
No, he's not Zach Randolph, but he's the epicenter right now.
I mean, they beat the crap out of North Carolina coming into this thing, and we're still an 11 seed. But he's a fun guy to watch. If he wins and the Cougs win, we'll get to see
rematch.
How Kelvin Sampson.
Oh
God,
rematch. You know it's coming. What are you rolling your eyes at? You know that's going to be, and you're going to see him running around the court, Jim Valvano. You're going to see shades of You know, the lob that was the shot that ended up being a lob. You know it. Just prepare yourself.
One of them needs to lose.
By Slamma Jamma.
Oh, my God.
Jim
NC
Valvano.
State versus
the
Phi Slamma Jamma.
Yep.
All right, one of them needs to lose.
Now you're cheering for them.
And you know it wouldn't be a tournament as we conclude the best sounds if it weren't for some bit coaching from Tom Izzo. Here's Bit Izzo, after his team got bounced in the second round.
I'm getting back to a deeper run in this tournament. I'm going to die trying.
All right, Bit.
Oh, okay.
Coming up, D'Amico Ryan speaks on the new additions. A big week for Cal and the Cougs. An instant classic next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
The hits are lit here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, this was D'Amico on the additions the Texans have made in free agency and via trade.
And it's not just one guy. It's multiple guys. So being able to add multiple guys, move around and do a lot of different things is just unlocks things for us when it comes to a schematic standpoint. And we're able to add really good football players. That's the key. All the guys we added have had success in this league. They've done it for a while. So excited to see what those guys bring to our team.
We're going to dig in a little bit more, but the additions, he went in a little bit further, as we're going to hear, on the running back position. And I thought that was one of the more interesting things. But he was just really candid at this breakfast. Very relaxed environment. You heard earlier him talking about basically the draft and the position that they're in and why they did it. He flat out saying what Nick Caserio hinted at. And then you got that. And then you're going to have him on the running back position, which I thought was enlightening as well.
Yeah, here was him on Joe Mixon. Yeah. You know that he likes Joe Mixon. This is the first time that we've heard D'Amico speak on Mixon. Here's what he had to say about that.
Yeah, with Mixon, we're looking to add a running back, same, right? We're looking to add depth. We're looking to add a playmaker at that position, and I feel like Joe is the guy who's done it for a long time in this league. He's been very consistent. And going against him for multiple times, like, he's a very physical runner, and he does a great job of protecting the ball. So does a great job in the passing game, just all around back. So be able to add him to our team helps our offense.
So we know that they were in on Saquon Barkley. Obviously they were in on Joe Mixon. They got him. I think what it comes down to is he has a certain type. I mean, every coach has their type at the running back position, and I think that being able to catch the ball and run physically, like violently, like Damian. I think it's part of the reason they like Damian Pierce still. He's a violent runner. He hadn't been a good fit, but he's a very violent runner. I think that's his type.
I think he's a good mix of all of it. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Damian Pierce and how that goes. Cal McNair, the owners are expected to vote on a proposal to make Cal the principal owner of the team. He would replace his mother, Janice. Think this is going to happen, and it'll be good for Cal. Avoid a lot of potential headaches, and would just be kind of the icing on the cake for Cal to do what many of us already thought he was going to do, which was run things from here on out with Hannah. I'll take it.
I will absolutely take it, and I think there's a lot at work here. It's a good thing for Texans fans. You think, well, why, you know, that doesn't affect me as long as they play well. Well, I think it does for the stability aspect. I think they have been so hands-on, much more so, obviously, than Janice. And I also feel like it does a couple of things. Owners can appreciate what Cal and Hannah have brought to this team. And the biggest thing is they've completely changed the entire reputation, which is incredibly rare for an owner to have a reputation and to actually be able to change it. There's just numerous examples of once somebody thinks something about an NFL owner, that's it. Well, they changed it.
The owner of the Tennessee Titans, they're in an interesting spot. Amy Adams Stank, the stanky one. Her team made another trade. They traded with the Chiefs. They flipped third round. Or they got a third round pick. The Kansas City Chiefs did, and then they had a seventh round pick flop in exchange for Javarius Sneed, who goes to the Titans, and they have made him one of the highest paid corners in the history of the NFL. what do you make of this? A lot of people are just looking at the draft compensation and ignoring the contract.
This
is not just about the draft comp. Like, if you could get Snead on his rookie deal for a third-round pick and a swap, you do it.
Then, yeah, absolutely.
But now he's one of the highest-paid corners in NFL history. Calvin Ridley, by the way, the sixth highest-paid receiver in the NFL, too.
I'm glad you mentioned Ridley, because I feel like when I saw this, this happened Friday, didn't it?
It happened Friday night.
I knew I was down in Aransas Pass when I saw this. Well, let me make it a question, because this, my thought was, am I wrong here? Because I don't think there's none of these. I don't think any of these moves all of a sudden change my mind about what kind of team they're going to be on in 2024. I still think they're going to be a very 8-ish win team that goes nowhere. Am I wrong? Do you think there's anything they can do or anything they've done that elevates them to a contender status?
I mean, the only thing that they could do is end up being right about Will Levis, and Will Levis ends up being him.
Okay.
That's it. That's the only thing. But right now, I don't know what they're doing. Like, when they got rid of Vrabel, I said, okay, if they're rebuilding, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
They're acting like a team that's a move away.
Yeah.
And there seems to be like some joy.
Okay, so I'm not alone in this.
No, there's like some joy in, oh, we took Calvin Ridley from the Jags. Oh, Snead was perhaps going to go to the Colts. The Jags and Colts were both one win away from being in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Jags were a win away from winning the division, and the Colts were a win away from ending the Texans season. So they're functioning a little bit more aggressively. But when you're in a position where you're kind of in no man's land, and you're throwing around free agent money, it just kind of seems like you don't have an identity.
Yeah, I even went so far as to go, not on a fan board, but I searched Titans on Twitter to see what fans were saying.
Oh, Morocco T is like throwing a party.
Well, outside of him, it was like a lot of people were like, too much money, not like down on the move because they're Titans fans, but very skeptical even. I'm like, okay, well, I don't think I'm missing anything on this. I don't think these guys are like final pieces, you know?
Don't get it.
Yeah.
Cougs topped the Aggies 100-95 in overtime. Which means that the Sweet 16 is officially set. In the South, you have Houston versus Duke, and then NC State versus Marquette. That Shaka Smart can kind of coach when he's not in orange, can he? In the West, you have UNC versus Alabama and Arizona versus Clemson. Midwest, you got Creighton versus Tennessee. That Rick Barnes can coach, too. And then you have Purdue versus Gonzaga.
What happens?
And then in the East, you have UConn versus San Diego State and Illinois versus Iowa State. So 12 out of 16, it's chalk.
Mm-hmm.
So as planned, top four seeds, 12 out of 16 is chalk. The only teams outside of the top four, San Diego State University, Clemson, NC State, and then Gonzaga. Man, quit ranking Gonzaga like 5 and down.
I know.
Like, just quit.
So, how's your Final Four doing? I have all four of mine still.
I think I had Kentucky. I believed Calipari.
I had him going in the second round, I believe.
I think I did. I don't know. I haven't looked. I got UNC winning it.
I have Arizona winning it.
Yeah.
And they're still alive.
Yeah. So, I'm not – I don't think it's great, but I really haven't paid attention. I was glad the Cougs won yesterday. I had A&M beating them, though.
Mm-hmm.
Astros start this week, but it's not the talk of baseball right now. Shohei Ohtani, the betting scandal, is kind of front and center. There's been like all kinds of facts, including that his translator, the media guide, was claiming that he'd graduated from UC Riverside, mm-hmm. and they have no such thing. Like, all this stuff is coming out. Where do you stand on this Ohtani investigation? And I have another question about this, too. But where do you stand on this? How interested are you? How much do you care about it?
I'm interested because of the name. I mean, he is the face of baseball. So I am interested. I also believe that he should be investigated. He will be investigated, and nothing is going to happen. Baseball is going to protect its own. This isn't like the people comparing the Astros to this. I get it. I'm not saying that it's necessarily unfair to make that comparison, but the Astros were not Shohei Ohtani, $700 million, the future of the game, the most recognizable player on the planet. It's fishy. It's very, very fishy what his involvement is going to be. was in this.
But like the way the Astros got treated or not doesn't make you want them to just drop the hammer on Shohei, right?
Right. Like it's two different things, and they're not. They're not going to drop the hammer. But I think I said this Thursday. There's no way any bookie on the planet would float $4.5 million unless they had some contact with the banker, and the banker is Shohei.
See, I'm leaning one way on this, and this is where my mind went, and this might be a nobody's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Is this bad for Pete Rose potentially getting in the Hall of Fame eventually, or is it good? Does this make it more or less likely? Because I kind of felt like we were getting to a point where maybe even after he died or something, Pete Rose gets in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I'm not trying to have the should Pete Rose be in the Baseball Hall of Fame topic, but does this hurt him? Because there's a gambling scandal front and center. Because I know they were leaning towards like embracing gambling to where I could see them forgiving Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Does this hurt him, this Ohtani thing?
I don't think it does anything. I don't think it hurts
him. It has
him.
No impact?
I don't think it hurts him or helps him because he admitted and was proven to have actually bet on games. First of all, let me say that too. I don't think Ohtani bet on games. I think he had contact with the bookie because there's no bookie alive that would not do that to make sure they would get paid. So it's a little different thing. Yeah, I don't think it affects Rose.
I don't know, man. There was someone online, and this went viral. This got millions of views. This person, this is what we're starting to get with Ohtani now.
Mm-hmm.
Shohei Ohtani defers $680 million of his contract. Randomly announces marriage after never speaking about wife for entire career. Allegedly has no idea man he spends every day with is gambling away millions. This guy is a sketch.
Sketchy.
Rockets. They've won 8 straight.
How about that?
Playing really well. They
How about Jalen Green, your guy?
They got Portland tonight. He's playing his ass off. Good for him. They got Portland tonight. They're one game back of the 10 spot in the Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green. He was asked about the Rockets. Here's what Draymond had to say about the threat of the Rockets catching him.
How much are you now kind of tracking the Rockets?
I don't give a damn about the Rockets.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You don't give a damn about the Rockets?
I don't give a damn about the Rockets.
Playing really well, though.
Yeah, they are.
Should be interesting to see how this whole thing goes. Those are the hits here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up, March Madness. It kind of has me feeling some type of way about why it is what it is and why the top sport will remain king. I'm going to throw this at Lopez. We'll also talk about the best stuff that went on this weekend. Lunchtime within the loop on a Monday. Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.